You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to filmmaker Rick Cossack. My favorite part of the interview was his review of Netflix's Don't Look Up. It was an honor having him on my podcast. He's a great dude. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome on the first time on the podcast, filmmaker Rick Cossack.
Wow.
What's up, man? Thanks for coming.
I feel the love on that behind the keys there. That was great.
Really?
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, I usually play the same chords. I try to do a little variety. I make it up on the spot.
I dig it. How long have you been playing?
When I was little, most Asian families, Suzuki lessons, Suzuki piano lessons when you're a kid.
Right.
At Aussie's Musics and in Poway. But I didn't have a passion for it. Mm. It was kind of like, you're going to piano. Right. Yeah. It's not till later. You know who gave me that piano? Money Mark. Money Mark gave me that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Money. Yeah. I mean, shout out to Money Mark. He's been on the podcast several times. Shout out to the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're rest in peace, MCA. But yeah, Money's got a whole, I don't even know how many pianos he has.
How'd you let him make friends with him?
My brother took me to, we were getting Korean food one night, and we were halfway there in K-Town, and he had received a text. He's like, damn, I got to do this guy's podcast. I'm like, who? He's like, just come with me, dude. We'll go eat after. I didn't even know what a podcast was. And it was David Cho, DVDSA.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day, it was David Cho and Asa, Akira's podcast. And that's how I met him and how I met Money Mark and the rest of the cast there. And that's how that actually got me familiar with what a podcast was. I didn't want to do it.
Did you just get the bug that instant when you're like, oh, this is cool, you know?
Yeah, I showed him respect. I just want to shake his hand, and I actually placed the seat near the entrance, and I let them do their thing. He called me over like 15 minutes in. Hey, bring your brother over here. And so I sat in Austin's seat. She was gone that week, and I just sat there, and that's how it all. I didn't even know what it was. I thought it was weird that you're filming people talk like.
And look at you today.
Yeah, we're
we had this four... amazing studio.
this is what I have now. Yeah,
this is a dope studio.
Do you like? I mean, this is.
I like it.
I mean, this was just like, it started just literally against this door with the camera facing the door, and then I'm like,
that's how it starts.
And then after a few, I was like, I'll just put stickers up. I just kind of.
I like it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I asked you something because it was raining. I had to meet you out front. And then right when you stepped in here, because I had just seen something on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie called Don't Look Up.
And I didn't like it. Yeah, it was like...
One of the first. Everyone I've talked to, oh, dude, I loved it.
Yeah, I hated it, man.
Why? Can you tell me the reasons why?
I felt confused if it was a dramedy or was it supposed to be comedy or... It was just all over the place, and then by the time we got to the Ariana Grande concert, that's the full song, I'm checked out.
Yeah.
That's just filler. That's just bullshit. I'm not saying she's a bad artist. I think she's an amazing singer, but when I'm watching a movie, I don't want to watch an entire song in a performance.
It was a lot.
It was too much.
Not only that, the song was actually the title of the movie, but the opposite. She's like, look up. Like,
it was just, I don't know. I didn't vibe with it. And yeah. I watch a lot of movies and I've seen a lot of great films this year, and that was not one of them.
Did you like the premise at least? Like the post, like the apocalyptic.
That's what drew me in.
Yeah. So but without ruining it, can you tell the viewers and listeners what initially the movie, the narrative, the main theme? Go ahead.
It's the end of the world.
So a comet is approaching Earth.
But I did like Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
I like Jonah Hill. Jonah was funny too, though.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
So. I like his work. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But.
So on the flip end of that, you said you saw some good, like, what are some of the good movies you saw this year?
Right now, I'm in the middle of watching this documentary. I know it's probably, I'm late to the party, but it's about Laurel Canyon.
Really?
And it's a documentary. It's on Apple Plus right now. I think it's been on some other platforms, but it's like the whole history of Laurel Canyon. I'm just super infatuated with the history and rock and roll in the late 60s, early 70s in the canyon. And I also see Licorice Pizza.
Oh, that's Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie. Yeah, definitely check. Yeah, because we talked about that at Jeremiah's party.
Yeah, that's a really fun film. And The French Dispatch.
Okay, what's that about?
That's another amazing film.
Foreign?
No.
Okay.
Wes Anderson. Sorry, I can't remember anyone's name.
Are you a Todd Solondz fan at all? I know he hasn't made a movie in a while.
I don't know who that is.
Welcome to the Dollhouse, Happiness.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's back in the day.
That's like 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, is he still with us?
I don't know if he is.
I mean, I don't mean to be blunt, but, you know.
Because I've known about you for years and years and years, so when I saw you at Jeremiah's party, I got super hyped up. I'm like, oh, there he is.
Yeah,
because I met you. I don't know if you remember how I first met you.
We met at the comedy store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird night because I didn't know what that was. I'm like, whoa, what is it? I didn't know what Kill Tony was.
Yeah, it's just it was a fun podcast. You know?
Yeah. So Kill Tony was a podcast. I know he moved to Austin, but it's, you know, they have a panel on stage and it's kind of like a potluck where they grab people's names and they do a 30-second comedy set.
No, they do like a minute. And then this falls with a 10-minute interview, sort of how it goes depending on the interview.
Mm-hmm.
It could get really intense. It could be really funny.
Mm-hmm. And then because we talked a little bit about your kind of like you discovering that. Do you remember that night you're like, yeah, I was in the OR at the comedy store or something?
Well, so originally I started going to the comedy store because an old friend of mine used to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about the roast battle. And I started going. And I was the only person, you know, I didn't know anyone. So I would just go stand in the back watching, you know, the show down. And that conception was fire. It was the best live show I've ever watched. And Jeremiah was a part of it. He was the wave.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you describe what the wave was?
The wave was like three guys or four. And they would, when a joke really hit hard, they would all react, you know, crazy and do different things and like to, you know, help accentuate the joke and make sure the audience knew that was funny.
Yeah. So it was kind of like an impromptu.
Improv.
And they would act out some of the stuff.
Some funny things.
Yeah.
You know, that would help, you know, make the joke land even harder.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's like I felt like I was watching a wrestling kind of punk rock concert taking place in a little room at the Comedy Store.
Yeah. And what are some, because you mentioned punk rock and like all that and wrestling, like you grew up like me in the, from the 80s?
Yes. Then? Yeah. I grew up going to punk rock shows and stuff like that.
Like what are, do you remember some of the bands that, do you see like Black Flag or Dead Kennedys?
I saw the entire, like in the late 80s, the entire English movement that came through Los Angeles, like Discharge, Subhumans, The Addicts, what else? Misfits, GBH at the Santa Monica Civic when they first played there.
Jeez, Louise. So what was that, 82? Like,
I forgot. I want to say 85.
85, yeah.
But yeah, it was just exciting time to go to shows that only cost $7. You know?
$7 for a show.
Yeah.
At like some abandoned church somewhere.
Maybe something like that, or at the Santa Monica Civic.
Wow.
You know?
And then, so did you grow up in?
Southern California.
In Venice or?
No, I grew up in Orange County.
Okay.
And so I grew up skateboarding and then getting into punk rock music. And I remember, you know, when we were kids in high school that there would be punk rock shows in backyards. So there's like a whole scene, you know, like you'd go see these punk bands back then that would be like, they put out flyers. Yeah. This band's going to play in this backyard. It's like crazy. It's kind of like comedy today.
Yeah.
They have backyard shows.
But back then, they'd go to Kinko's and
make the flyers.
Yeah, they make the flyers themselves.
Yeah.
They do it that's cool.
That's why I got really excited when I would start seeing these backyard comedy shows and be like, yeah, I know what this is.
Yeah. I like this. Nostalgic,
you know?
Right?
Yeah, kind of.
How did you get into, because I know you, I mean, you're doing filmmaking now, but I discovered you through Big Brother and skateboarding.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, that's his picture. That's, like, how did you get into skating and that whole scene?
Well, I mean, it started, I guess, you know, as a kid, you know, I skated, going to the parks when there was skate parks, and that all went away. Got into punk rock. And then I was like, I realized like this is going nowhere. So I got back into skateboarding.
Yeah. Was this in the 90s now? Like late 80s?
No, late 80s.
Yeah.
And I was running around with a pack of dudes who are just going nowhere.
Yeah. What kind of like burnout dudes?
Well, just, you know, they're doing drugs and getting wasted. And so I was like, I'm ducking out and just got back on the board.
Yeah.
And the skateboard kind of took me in a new direction. And I say skateboarding saved my life, you know? So
it really did.
I think so, yeah.
Well, just for the fact that you got into it and didn't go the other way.
Yeah, yeah. And I look back and all those other dudes got into heroin and death. And so, you know, so it's like, so I got back into skating and then one thing led to another. And I reconnect with some other friends from school and like going to ramps and street skating and messing around. And, and it just kind of took that route. And, got into photography, and then they just kept pursuing it, even though I was working like graveyard shift jobs.
Yeah, I've done that too.
You know, and so I would just like do what I had to do to hustle what I wanted to really do with my life, and I just followed that instinct, and it eventually led me where I'm at today.
Like, how did you link? Like, that's interesting. How did you link up with? Did you just meet people along the your journey?
Sure, you know, because back then there would be more gatherings like trade shows.
Wait, some people might not know what that is. What was a trade show?
A trade show is where the action sports retailer show where all the different industries come together to sell their stuff.
Yeah.
And so everyone would go down.
There's companies, right? Like skate companies.
Clothing companies, bikini companies.
Yeah.
It's everything. Surf companies. So they'll be, you know, mostly held down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down there and you gather around and meet people and, you know, and, you know, one thing leads to another, and then I don't know, it's just like how things work, you know, it's like how life works, you know, like it's not all just through Instagram.
So back then you actually had to go somewhere and communicate and like interact with people.
Yeah, shake hands, smile, wave to the audience, kiss the babies, you know? Like,
now, is this true? I've heard of this because I'm not obviously a part of that industry, but is the skateboarding industry, is it like hella clicky? Like,
I think like, kind of like, yeah, I can see that. I, you know, I just,
It's kind of like the cool, you know, like in high school, right? You had, you like the cool kids.
I think
kids.
Everything is high school.
Right, right.
You know?
Even when I went to college, I noticed it's like, oh, like this is even worse because there's fraternities and sororities and this group and that group.
So, I mean, you just, I think it's just best to, you know, if you're just kind of level-headed and cool and you can just kind of divert through all the bullshit.
Right. And then what were some of the, who are the, some of the skaters you looked up to, like or video parts that like you were watching during those
days?
I
mean, anything Pal Peralta put out back in the day, right? Yeah. Animal, Search for Animal Chin.
I have the VHS of Animal Chin.
Yeah, I mean, those
somewhere.
Videos were awesome.
Yeah. It was like more of a movie to me. Like,
sure.
So shout out to Stacy Peralta.
He was great. He captured something really special. And gosh, I can't even, I wonder how many times I've actually watched one of those videos.
Yeah, so Search for Animal Chin. Where are some of the other ones?
Public Domain.
Public Domain.
Yeah. And I'm not, you're going to have to look it up. I don't remember all the names, but those are just a couple of, off the top were pretty cool.
And then I we grew up like, I think we got it, obviously I got into it later than you did, but remember 411 Video Magazine?
Sure,
yeah. So there's those videos they put bi-monthly or every couple months.
I didn't watch all of them, but, you know, it served its purpose at the time.
Yeah. Now, how did you, like, link up with, like, all the Jackass dudes, like Bam and Steve-O and all those dudes?
Well, Big Brother was a very collective magazine.
Yeah, describe to, because that's how I discovered.
So, for those who don't know anything I'm talking about, there's a documentary on Hulu called Dumb. So,
what's it called?
Dumb. Okay. So, you can circle back, go to Hulu, look it up. It tells
about
a whole,
Big Brother?
It's a documentary about the Big Brother magazine. But I'll tell you the story.
Go ahead.
You know, our is crazy ensemble of characters. You know, and we're obviously, if you've read the magazine, it's pretty much what Jackass became.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we had Wee Man working for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Steve-O was another character out there that somehow gravitated towards us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Jeff, me, Sean, and then Dimitri on the East Coast. Knoxville was writing writing stories for us. And it just sort of became, we started filming a pilot.
Really?
Yeah, the pilot. And
before the first movie.
Oh, yeah, before the TV show.
Before the TV. Oh, it was a TV show on MTV or something?
Yeah, that was a huge.
I forgot about that.
It's a huge hit on TV, on MTV. So, and I think, Jeff and PJ, or Johnny Knoxville to everyone else,
mm-hmm.
brought everyone together, and Bam was doing his CKY videos, so I guess he just, you know, communicated, like, hey, we're going to make this TV show, and why don't you guys be a part of it? So, the forces came together. And Johnny Knoxville, Jeff Tremaine, and Spike Jonze went around and pitched the show. Failed a few times.
Yeah. I forgot Spike Jonze was a part of
that? Yeah, he's executive producer.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And eventually landed it at MTV and became this huge phenomenon.
I mean, it was huge.
I guess it was. It's hard because I'm inside the middle of the cluster.
Yeah, but outside of it, looking in.
Yeah, I would hear stories like my friends from Hawaii were like, yeah, we would have these big viewing parties and every Friday night we had 30 people watching the show. I'm like, what?
Viewing party? It's like a UFC event or something.
Yeah. Except we're watching a bunch of dumb fucks.
So it just organically happened like that?
Well,
like, how did you meet those guys individually? Like, all at once? Like, how did that work out?
It just kind of fell into place, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was the photo editor for the magazine, and so Jeff was the art director.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started making our own videos. And and that kind of just sort of happened, you know, over time, you know?
Yeah.
It just goes to show, man. You just got to follow, you know, what's in front of you. Just kind of enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
There's no finish line. I've said this cliche many times. You just got to enjoy the journey because there's going to be little drops of gold nuggets. You know, like, oh, today was awesome. You know?
But there's a lot of downtime, too, or like
whatever.
Years where nothing.
That's not true. Like years, no. I don't know. Look, we're having fun right now.
Yeah.
Right?
No. You know what? Even with this, it's like I didn't expect anything, but like I'm like, what, 4.5, 5? You know? It's still fun to me. Like,
I researched before I committed.
Well, thank you. Thank you for researching. Yeah.
And you got a pretty solid fan base, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's more, it's not like mainstream, like, you know, like my brother has a mainstream one. Yeah, his your brother's, friends.
He's pretty successful.
Yeah, he's.
But you're under the
dude. He just had Tony Hawk on his.
I know. Can you imagine?
I was tripping. I'm like, he's like, dude, Tony Hawk came over. I go, what?
So I met your brother years ago.
Okay, so I want to hear the. I think about it, and I want to hear this story for sure.
Because I met him before he was a comedian.
What?
Yes.
No. That must have been 92 or 93.
He's really good buds with Laban and Fidius.
Dude, hold up. Let's give Laban some love right here.
Laban was
dude,
badass.
Dude, shout out to the homeboy Laban Fidius.
Yeah.
Caught clean.
Yep.
Juggling. Great skater.
He had two covers on Big Brother, and I shot one of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People don't know about Laban. Let's give Laban some love, man.
He did his part in his time in skateboarding. He was like probably one of the most creative dudes of that era because he was always doing something.
He was gnarly too, dude.
Yeah, he was a good skater.
He
but
had
yet,
a frontside flip. Like he'd skate pools and stuff.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And he's super creative.
With art and like he got into direct filming and editing and directing.
He's badass.
Yeah. So he used to skate for a company called Invisible.
I think it was one of Blockhead skates.
Blockhead and then Invisible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those
you know,
two. Yeah.
And
he could juggle.
And I think Dogtown too.
Yeah. Him and Wee Man and who's the other one? God, I forgot the other kid.
Eric Dressen?
No, it was this other. It was three of them. God. You know what?
Oh, Preston Acuff.
Yeah, Preston. It was those three at that one time.
Yeah,
it was them. Yeah, that's interesting.
How do I remember that?
I don't. Well, you're probably encyclopedia.
I know a lot of things.
You know a lot.
I just don't remember everyone's name.
But you just came up with that like on the fly.
Yeah. So it's like these memories are firing up.
That's
again.
That's so crazy.
Getting the engine going again. It's just cranberry juice.
So, so you met Laban and my brother at the same time in San Diego?
No, he was up here in Los Angeles. They're buds hanging out. And didn't they have a skate shop together?
Yeah, it was called, so shout out to Calixto. He was my roommate at the time. It was called Juvie.
Yeah, and there was a ramp in the back.
Yeah, I actually sandblasted that place before he even got any, all of the product in.
Mm.
I worked for him.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, yeah.
I shot pictures on that ramp of Pat Duffy for his interview.
Of the Juvie ramp?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, so that was like. That was early 2000.
I was just thinking about that in my drive over here. I was like, gosh, yeah. I remember that.
It was near that 7-Eleven, you know? It was like,
across the street.
Yeah. Damn, that's so how'd you know about that place?
I mean, in skateboarding, everyone talks, you know,
but it was such an underground, real underground place.
No, but that's how skating was. If you were in it, you knew everything about it and what was going on and what ramps were around and, you know, just going to spots and keeping it cool, not blowing it up too hard.
So you met Laban, Calixto, and my brother during that time.
I probably knew Laban first before those two guys.
Right, and then what was your first kind of like impression of my brother?
Hmm.
That was good. I like that reaction.
Let me think about this. No, he was a nice guy. He was just more shy and reserved.
What?
Yeah. Not like he is today.
Oh, he was more real interesting.
He was a different person back then.
Yeah. I think those guys kind of opened him up.
Sure.
Like out of a shell. Especially like Wee Man and Laban, they would fuck with him.
You think so?
Yeah. Like I remember one of the parties they threw, a birthday party, they hired these dude strippers to give him a lap dance. It was, it was a surprise. Do you remember Laban where he used to live in Echo Park, that house in Echo Park somewhere? And I just remember, hey, dude, we got your present for you. And then they blindfolded him.
Oh, that is brutal.
And I just remember Wee Man and Laban, they're laughing and they're like, all right, come out. And then they gave him a lap dance. Yeah.
What, did he like it?
You have to ask him about that.
Okay, if he ever invites me on his podcast.
He went along with it.
He had no choice.
And you know what's funny, too, because they try to get him to skate, too. My brother was into skating, but he never skated.
I mean, he definitely appreciates it, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I just remember, like, just living with him in Calixto. He would, like, get the new Rally, like the Vans Rally. He's like, you know, dude, I got the new Rallies.
You know, it's so weird. I was watching the new Burt cast tonight.
Yeah.
And he had Tony Hawk and Jason Ellis.
I noticed that. What is going on? So are they doing like, because they just did Tiger Belly.
They're trying to do their rounds so they can get, you know, more viewers on their platform of channel.
Why are those two doing it together? I don't know.
They have their own podcast together.
Oh, they, so Tony and.
It's called Hawk versus Wolf.
I didn't know that.
And they have it's on a YouTube channel, and they have a podcast that they're going. And they had a couple of really good guests. They had Rodney Mullen, Christian Asoy.
Damn.
Christian stories are they're insane. They're like
well,
wow.
Tell the viewers and listeners who that is, because a lot of them might.
I think
he was a rock star back then.
He was a rock star. I'm sure your viewers know who Christian Asoy is.
Some of them might know. They're a little younger. Some of them might not know.
Well. Get your pen and paper out and start taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking notes?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
Throughout the whole thing, I am.
Yeah, and he was the legendary skateboarder and went down the wrong road.
He got into drugs, didn't he?
Major drugs. You should watch the episode. It's pretty intense what he talks about.
And there's a documentary, I think, about him too, right? Like, didn't he, like, go...
I don't know if there's a documentary. He wrote a book.
Something on YouTube, right? Some mini-documentary or something.
Yeah, I don't remember it, so I'm not going to give any props.
Is he a pastor now, or, like, isn't he in
I think
church?
He's religious, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. If it makes him happy, and I'm more power to him.
It was positive. It was a positive move.
Hey, man, I'm all about positivity.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the negative. Even though I bashed Don't Look Up here.
Yeah, yeah. We might have to edit that out.
Sorry, but it's just from the heart.
Can I throw another one out there that I didn't like worse than that?
What's that?
M. Night Shyamalan's new one.
I didn't see it.
It's called The Old.
I see the wall there.
Brother and he texted me at 4 in the morning the other night because I think I might have requested. I'm like, you should check it out because I was about to. And he got so mad at me. He's like, dude, this is the worst fucking movie I've ever seen, dude. Like, he was lost his mind.
Your brother is a different person these
days. He likes movies, though. People don't know. He's really into movies. Like, we're into Kurosawa's movie. Like, we're into movies.
Right.
Yeah. But because a lot of M. Night's movies we enjoyed. Signs, Unbreakable, Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
I could go down the list. I didn't like Lady in the Water. I didn't like that one, Lady in the Water, or whatever that one. But some of them were good. Like,
none of these movies, I even know what you're talking about.
Signs.
So I didn't see it.
You what?
How old is that?
It's like somewhere in the
80s? Earth.
No, 90s? This is 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a time frame when I was really busy working on Big Brother. I didn't go to any movies because I was too busy.
You were that busy?
7 days a week, man. It was a grind.
Did they have like their own offices and stuff?
Oh,
like,
sure. But, you know, I'm constantly out shooting, getting the articles done, and I had no time for anything other than Big Brother.
How long? Wait, let's go back to that. Like, how long were you working for the magazine?
I was there about 11 years.
11 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, and the biggest lesson I learned from it, I feel, is you got to take time off and, like, enjoy, like, a Sunday here and there and chill out. And I never got enough of those, and it fried me.
Jeez. And then it was that. Do you basically live at the office?
Yeah, and in my car and out in the field shooting photos.
What do you mean, you lived in your car?
As a figure of speech.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So I was constantly just hustling, trying to get photos and like,
yeah.
And there were like, we would work late at night, you know, you know, cause I was like helping scanning the photos, help shooting. At one point I was like shooting the photos, scanning them into the computer, cleaning them up, selling the ads.
What was your role? What was your title then?
It was photo editor, but that entailed
a lot of things.
But we all had to wear many hats making the magazine in the beginning. That's just the way it was, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, it goes to show with anything you do, you're going to do that.
You're going to do it, whatever it takes.
Yeah, whatever it takes, you know? So you get hired for something, you're going to do more than one thing.
Right. Yeah. When did that evolve into, like, filmmaking and, like...
I think, you know, when we started making the videos, that's when I really started getting excited. My first one was my first, like, full video part for Big Brother was with the guy, Johnny Lee County. He had the yellow Devo suit on the cover.
I'm a fan of Devo, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah, great band.
And I made this video. This guy from South Central,
So was he a gang? Was he like gang affiliated?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And it's just this nice, husky black dude, you know, and super good at skateboarding. And he tried to get sponsored for from Prime.
I remember Prime Skateboards.
Yeah. So, and then Mark Hobb was like, "Yeah, you gotta check this guy out. He's perfect for Big Brother." And I was like, "Whoa, who is this guy?" Yeah. But I had to get the courage to go there because he lived in the worst cut of South Central.
Like, it was like there was in the hood, like
hood.
Like gang, like there was
hardcore.
Gangs. Like hardcore.
So I had to figure out.
And then you had to figure out, how am I going to drive in this neighborhood?
So I figured, like, if I'm going to get in and out, I'm going to have to go by myself.
At night?
Early in the morning. That's the only way I went and shot this guy. I got there early in the morning, did what I had to do, bolt.
Because, man, if you
everyone's
went at
asleep.
Night, man.
Everyone's asleep.
Not only that, but if you went at night, they would have said, like, what are you doing? Like, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. So I just figured that out. Shot his interview, went great. And like, all right, I got to go back now to go shoot for the video part.
Yeah.
So I had to go a few times. It did a few times. But, you know, it worked out fine. And
he was a street skater as well.
Yeah, he had all these great street tricks.
Like he was solid.
His part is on my YouTube channel.
Can we shout out your YouTube channel?
Yeah,
right
Rick Kosick Films at YouTube. Please follow me today. I'd appreciate it.
Rick Kosick Films. Subscribe today.
Subscribe. Yeah, every like button you see of every video I post.
Is that specific video called? What was the guy's name again?
Johnny Lee County.
Johnny Lee County?
Yeah, County.
C-U-N-T-Y?
Yeah.
Like a county, like city, a county. Johnny Lee County.
Johnny Lee.
Yeah.
County.
Is he still around? Is he still involved with skateboarding?
I went to this punk show not too long ago, and the guy who works at some skate shop down at, I think it's South Bay Skates.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Yeah, man, here, you want Johnny Lee's number?" And I was like, "Oh, sure." I mean, And I'm like, wow. I go, he's still with us.
That's because crazy. He must be like in his 40s or 50s.
Yeah,
right?
I called him like because I thought maybe we were going to interview him for the Big Brother documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't pan out. But he was like, "Hey, Rick." And he didn't sound healthy.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. You know, I was like kind of concerned for the guy. And he's like, "Yeah, all my family's gone." And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, things happen.
Things happen, you know. And he was still here. And
is he still in South Central? Like,
I think he lives in Long Beach.
Okay.
Works at Target somewhere down there. And
okay.
Last I heard. Wow.
That'd be an interesting documentary. Just
this Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Just on him.
Maybe.
No?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't know.
What were some of the tricks like?
He did everything.
He was
ho-hos. Just
hold
like.
Hold up. Let's back up a little bit. Wait, hold up. Yeah. You have to explain what.
So a ho-ho. Because
they might think that's a snack or something. Like some kind of hostess
like hostess like Twinkie defense here. So you do like a street plant, you know, and then you take the board.
You have to describe what a street. They might not know what a street plant is.
A street plant is when you grab your board, you put your hand down, and you jump up upside down. Well, you'd be upside down.
It's kind of like a breakdancing move almost.
With a skateboard, and you hold the board. So and then he puts the board on his shins. He puts both hands on the sidewalk and then
he's
doing a handstand, and then he goes back up and grabs the board, puts it back under his feet, and skates away.
Yeah.
This guy was good.
Dude, how come? Wait, you know what's interesting about skateboard? Because it's evolved so much.
Right.
How come they don't bring that back?
I think it's
like
so
bonelesses bad. And that.
Oh, it's there.
It's is it really there?
Slappies are there. People are doing
okay, you're right. You're right. That came back.
I mean, not everyone's trying to do the NAR.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everyone's trying to compete with Nyjah.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on... Hold up.
In Uto.
I mean, okay, so you brought it up. What are your thoughts on it being in the Olympics, skateboarding in the Olympics?
I think it's great.
How do you judge that, though? Because I was just talking to my buddy about this. We were having Mexican food, and how do you judge... Because it's an art form, right? Wouldn't you say?
As long as you're staying on the board and you're getting crazy, I think I'll give you a 10.
But how do you judge that? If one guy's doing like a crooked, like a switch crooked grind, and the other guy's doing some other trick, like a regular 5-0 on a rail, how do you judge that?
You know, I think it has to do with style and how you're doing the maneuver and how many difficulty tricks you're doing your, what is it, 60 second run? Or mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, I guess. I don't know.
And but I think skateboard competitions are different now with the Street League, and they do it differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But our one friend, Andrew, right? That's his name?
Shout out to our good buddy, Andrew Nicholas.
Yeah.
We bring him up a lot. He's a good dude.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
And it was really cool that he gave you guys some Scissor Bros skateboards.
Scissor Bros skateboards right there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you were there.
I was there.
So we at Jeremiah's party, we talked for about 2 hours.
And he was saying the problem that they were having, that it was so hot there that the boards, the glue in the boards was melting.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's, and then he goes, I'm from Arizona. And it was like really, really hot. And it's like, right. I've been to along the equator. And yeah. It's brutal.
It's brutal. And you brought up the Japanese phenom, Yuto Origami.
Oh, that kid's insane.
I mean, talk about just
a machine.
An artist. Yeah, I mean, the guy, he's just mind-blowing, isn't he?
I just, some of the stuff he does and the consistency. And
on like, a run, on his runs.
Runs and probably when he's just skating with his friends too, you know. And
you know, they got me and Jeremiah into the barracks.
Oh,
and I got scared because I thought he was kidding around because I met him playing Warzone. Mm. I met him playing Warzone.
Oh wow!
And Instagram. I looked at his Instagram. I'm like, oh, he's a solid skater. I like this. And then I thought, I didn't know his affiliations, what he did. And then he brought it up. He's like, hey, if you want, we could get you guys into the barracks. I'm like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, right. I thought he was fucking around.
And you guys got, and Yuto got you in?
No. He picked me up one night. Like, it was at 8:30. He's like, dude, let's go. And I go, really? He picks me up. And then he gets on a FaceTime call, and it's Yuto.
Oh, wow.
And so I literally started, like, morphing to the right side of the wind. I was just like, and I just, because I was like, oh, he's not kidding around.
Wow.
And then this is the way he set it up. He's like, okay, yeah, it's just going to be you, me, Yuto, and Deshaun, Jordan. I go, really? And I hadn't skate, you know, I don't skate. I skate to 7-Eleven or here. I mean, I don't skate like that anymore. Like,
do,
or
do you skate to your, that's a shoe store right up the street?
Well, yeah. Well, the one up the street, is that a spot?
Well, it's just not a spot.
It's a parking lot.
It was parking. It's a nice big parking lot, but just to get shoes.
Yeah, I've gotten sliders there.
Yeah, I get shoes there too.
Yeah. So anyway, he got me there. Thank God Yuto didn't show up that night, but Deshaun did.
Well.
Yeah, but going back to Yuto, how are these, I mean, these Japanese kids,
dominated.
New kid, Jinwoo, there's this new kid, Jinwoo. 11 years old?
Something in the water or something. I don't know.
In Okinawa? Like, there's something going on in Japan.
There's something going on. Maybe it's the radiation from Fukushima.
I don't know. We might have to edit that part out.
I hope not.
But they're just evolving like no other.
Man, they're machines.
They're machines out there, right?
Yuto is probably one of my favorite skaters.
He's just consistent.
It's amazing.
Yeah. How old is that kid?
I don't know his age. I've never met him.
Oh, you never met him?
No, I've just seen him on, you know, TV and...
Yeah.
Or should I say, YouTube?
I mean, when he won the gold, when you win the first gold medal in skateboarding,
incredible.
Dude, like...
he's new to this career, too, and he's just dominating.
And when companies like Louis Vuitton they're hollering, I mean, he's, like, companies like that are, I think, hollering.
Are they really?
Yeah, dude!
Good for him!
Gucci, Louis Vuitton, yeah.
I hope he's just raking in the cash.
I think he is.
And investing it correctly.
That's the thing. Let's talk about that because you've been around pro skaters. Like, I mean, as far as investing in finance, back in the 90s, they weren't the best at, like, saving their money, right?
Or, I think some were. You know, not everyone was a party animal.
But, I mean, the ones that party, they just kind of got lost in the sauce, would you say?
Maybe, yeah. There's definitely people like that and just... You know, I think it happens with a lot of things, you know. There's been jobs where I've done, where we travel around the world, and we would party every night, you know, and go out and get drunk. And
so you didn't get it that deep into, did you just smoke weed and drink beer or something? Or?
At that time, I don't even do that now. So
you're straight at like just
yeah go. Yeah straight.
So back then the worst was just drinking a beer and maybe smoking a joint or something.
It. Yeah, I never did anything else.
You didn't get into the, there's no cocaine involved or
never did.
Okay, yeah. But what do you say in skateboarding? Those are the two main drugs, just weed and beer.
Sure, I mean others dabble in probably other substances. I don't know. It's but that doesn't last long, you know, and. Mm-hmm. It's just good to stay true with what you're really into and flourish, you know?
Yeah. How does, I always wondered this as like, cause as far as the way their careers went, like how long is one's lifespan or like career span in professional skateboarding?
It just depends on the person. If they're going to be a party animal, it's not going to last very long. I don't think, you know, but it just, you know, if you're a phenomenon like Soy or, you know,
or Nyjah.
Nyjah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, you got to be careful, you know, and I think you should just be true to yourself and just do what you can and not be a fuck up, you know?
Right, right. And then, like, when a pro, like, retires, they could get other jobs within the industry, like maybe being a team manager or stuff like that?
I guess. It's like, sure, that's what you want to do if you want to be the babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what you are.
That's what it is.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you have to pick them up in the van or something? Or
I don't know. I think skateboarding is just so different now than it was when I was involved. And
do you like it, where it's gone?
You know, it's not mine to say, you know?
Yeah.
But it's exciting, but I just hear stories how hard it is for these kids to make money from it.
How do you not, though? Like,
it's just the way it is. You can't make money. No, you can't really make money sustained from board sales.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did they used to make money on board sales, right?
But now if you get a shoe deal, then you're okay. But otherwise, you're just kind of doing it for the fun.
Or if Red Bull hollers at you and you get
Monster
that.
Or drink, yeah.
Energy
or
drink.
Whatever
and you get
else.
That $5 to $7,000
check.
Maybe
The Rock will start sponsoring people.
The what?
The Rock. He's got an energy drink now, right?
Okay, shout out to The Rock.
Yeah. The Rock, start sponsoring skaters. Yeah. Come on.
Or X Games were like Street League and stuff like that, right?
I don't know. Well.
Like the competition thing?
I heard the prize purse isn't as high as it used to be. So,
really?
Yeah, that's what someone told me. And so.
What do you think about YouTube skaters? Like, people that have their own YouTube channel, then they make their own board. I mean,
I think it's great.
The more power to them, right?
Exactly. I think they're taking what never once existed and running with it.
And they're creating it.
They're creating their own destiny, and that's amazing.
Their own channel. They can upload their own content.
It's amazing. Like,
so you're for that?
100%.
I like that.
Like, you got your own channel? I got my own channel?
Yeah.
Do you have a channel?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Can you shout
out there? Shout
it out again. Rick Cossack Films.
Rick Cossack Films at YouTube. Mm-hmm. Please follow me today.
So what kind of content do you have on your channel?
Well, right now I have various different videos, but I'm starting a series that I'm test running. It's called Relentless Ones.
What's that about?
It's about people who have a passion in or... right now I'm building a story on a friend of mine who survived a kidney transplant. And so... we're talking about the after fact of surviving and what he's kind of gone through. And he was my boxing trainer. So,
wow.
So yeah.
They're like mini documentaries or interviews?
Yeah, just a little 5 minute videos, you know. And I did another one of my buddy who has a radio station. He's a DJ at KXLU. Mm-hmm. And so I did a story on him. And it's a little bit more built out. Mm-hmm. And then I did my first one with Joel Jimenez.
Oh, shout out to the homie Joel Jimenez.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that's on my channel. So please check it out. Like it.
So they're mini like 5 to 10 minute documentaries.
Just, if you want to call it little 5 minute little burners.
Cool. And then is it interview style?
Sit down interview style with footage of what they're doing.
And what they've gone through, like.
Sort of.
So
yeah.
They don't have to be like skaters or it could be
anyone.
No,
it's going to be anyone. Everyone's going to be different.
Wow. So who would you want to like, have you interviewed Spike?
No, I'm not going to do him.
He's too big.
I want to do people who are kind of on the come
up. The underground.
Yeah. And there's so many people in our world that are pursuing great things and I want to showcase that.
Yeah. And so this is interesting. What other types of content as well, besides the Relentless Ones?
Some music videos.
Music videos.
Yeah. And
that you directed and filmed
and
all?
Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of some of the bands?
This group called Film.
Okay.
House Broken Promises.
Keep going. Yep.
Did a video for. Oh man, I had to open up my phone. And
it's fine, but
whatever. Check it
out.
So
there's music videos. There's interviews.
Yeah, and then you know, I kind of got my page set up really, you know, so it's got all the podcasts I've ever appeared on. And
different tiers or different.
Yeah, it's pretty chronological and it's easy. Everything's really clean and easy to find.
That's cool. So in the future, like, what would you want to do? Eventually do an independent film to filmmaking?
Yeah, well, I'm looking to probably, you know, I want to sell this concept to a network this year.
Go ahead.
Well, by the way, Happy New Year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming.
This is it. This video will come out in the new year, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? It's 2022, man. I mean,
jeez.
It's just, would you say it's just flying by? I mean,
it's flying by and we're all sitting at home watching it go by.
Yeah, it's a weird time right now with the COVID thing and
I know, it
new
sucks.
Strands of these things. And would you say people are more paranoid now, and like it's like becoming, everything's becoming political as far as like, you know, like anti-vaxxers versus vax, you know, shit's crazy.
It's bizarre. Yeah. I think the problem is there's social media now and everyone's educated by it, so it's creating more dividing, you know, and it's like, oh, I learned this from this guy, and it's like, it might not be true. You know, I'm sure back in 1918 when there's a Spanish flu, no one was going anywhere to figure out. Everyone had a mask up,
yeah,
and get through it. And then when they took their mask off, millions of people died.
Right.
A lot of people died.
Yeah, it's real talk right there.
And
yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying follow the CDC guidelines or anything. Do what you want, you know, but it's just, it's kind of.
Yeah, it's just
I just
a weird
get frustrated
time.
Because I know people who have passed away from it.
Yeah, I just saw a documentary last night on YouTube, and it's just like, you know, it's like it took place in a Phoenix hospital, like ICU. It's a real, I mean, dude, it's like it's showing it. Like,
yeah, and I there's people I'm not gonna put them on blast, but
no,
I
you
follow,
don't have to. You don't
I'm
have
gonna put
to.
Them. On, some of my friends I follow on social media, and they just carry on like it's just they're making fun of everyone, and it offends me, you know. And it's
what?
Yeah, they'll go in a grocery store. They don't wear a mask, and they're kind of clowning people. And I it's like, fuck you.
Like prank type videos.
No, they're not prank.
No, this is real.
This is real.
It's not a prank.
No, not a prank. And they're just like, they just think they're smarter than everyone else. Like, oh, ha ha, look at you sheep. You know.
Yeah, you know. The weird thing, and this is like the most confusing thing, because there's so much information out there. There's so many videos. There's so much content. There's so many. It's like, how do you even know which one is the real shit? You know what I mean? Like, one person might watch one video and be like, see, dude, like,
yeah, I know.
Here's my proof. And then another person would be like, I saw this other video. See, this is the truth. It's like.
I had a buddy of mine call me the other day because he read some new book that dropped. I'm not going to reveal the title.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to even drop the dude's name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was just like, I had to wake up to an ear full of conspiracy stuff. And I'm just like. Man, I ain't even taking a shit yet today.
Wait. On what? Like UFO alien shit or?
No, but all about the vaccinations.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, dude.
Because I'm into the alien UFO. I like that stuff. Science fiction, you know? Star Trek. Like that stuff.
I'm disappointed. I really thought there'd be a big reveal by now of UFOs.
It's bound to happen. There's too much evidence. I mean, just Linda Moulton Howe. Shout out to my sensei, Linda Moulton Howe. She has a great platform called Earth Files on YouTube every Wednesday. And, man, she's interviewed, like, lieutenants from the Navy or the Air Force. They're underground bunkers. Like, there's proof of abductions and cattle abductions and mutilations. And
what was that one movie that they did the cattle mutilation that the helicopters came along and they scooped up the cattle and they did all these tests on it?
Oh, that's interesting. I forgot about that.
Remember that movie?
I don't think I saw that one.
It was like, man, you had to. It was like on TV like every other month back when we were kids.
Oh, the one I remember is V, The Final Battle.
It was pretty creepy, I remember.
Because remember the that was about those reptilians were in that.
No.
V, that, you remember V?
I don't remember.
Okay, V. Well, shout out to V, The Final Battle.
Do you know what new Bev's showing this month?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's do some positive reviews.
They're showing video. They're doing Videodrome. They're showing Videodrome this month at the new Bev in January. So, in January.
All right. And describe what that is to our younger viewers.
It's an old 80s movie with Debbie Harry.
Yeah.
And it's just this, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's kind of corny at the end, but yeah. That's how films were back. Yeah. It's just a trippy film.
Okay, since you brought that up again, I like talking about film again. Because we're getting to the last 13 minutes, something like that, right, Chels? Yeah. What are some of your most favorite or influential films ever? Like, just name 3 to 5.
Wow. We're going to have to sit here for 13 minutes while I think about that.
Well, do you want me to get it started?
Sure.
Okay, so for me, it's definitely There Will Be Blood.
Ooh.
There Will Be Blood. Taxi Driver.
Okay, that's a good one.
I love Goodfellas so much. That's one of those.
Can I chime in right now?
Yeah. That's what I wanted.
All right, go ahead. I like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
You know what I'm talking about, man? Rest in peace, Gene Wilder.
Yeah, incredible. Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. Woo! Now you're talking. Yeah. Now you're talking. I have Gene right there, man.
Oh, yeah. I saw that at the New Bev.
Yeah.
I've never seen that movie.
Crazy? You ain't gonna throw Stir Crazy in there?
Well, I don't know.
Come on, man. Just throw it in there.
Blazing Saddles. Okay. It's got Richard Pryor. Fair. Yeah.
So did Stir Crazy.
Yeah, I know, but that was a good movie.
Yeah. So those...
Those two, there's so many. I can't really, I'd have to think about it a second. I had a list at one point written out.
Any like Kurosawa films, like Dreams or Seventh Samurai, Korean filmmakers or Korean films?
I like Parasite.
Shout out to Parasite. Damn good film.
Did you watch Squid Games?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I'm not going to get crazy and be like, it's the best thing ever made.
It was fucking dark.
It was. You know what I liked about it? Because it talked about like human behavior, human psychology. What would one do when their backs are against the wall? Like, you know, people are nice every day, life. But what happens when you're in that scenario where it's life or death?
It felt like watching a Tarantino film because you have like this dialogue.
You brought that up.
And then boom, like this big combustive ending every episode.
Yeah. Since you brought Tarantino up, will you at least name a few? Because I just saw Inglourious Bastards last
Death
night.
Death Proof is like one of my favorite films.
Yeah, banger.
Love that. I've seen like 6 times.
Yeah.
I've seen it at the New Bev like 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And
name 2 more of his.
Oh.
Inglourious Bastards was that was a damn good movie. The dialogue. The
Hateful Eight.
Damn good.
Pulp Fiction was a classic, right?
I mean, that's got to be in my top 10.
What about Kill Bill 1 and 2?
I mean, it's so hard with him.
I know. They're so fun. They're fun movies.
Yeah. He's probably actually one of my favorite directors ever.
Did you like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I did. I didn't like it as much as Reservoir Dogs or some of the other ones. Okay. But, I mean, Reservoir Dogs was a classic, too. I mean,
yeah,
that's a damn good movie. Shout out to Tim Roth. He doesn't get enough love as well. Like, people forget. Tim Roth is an actor. I like Tim Roth. People forgot about him.
I forgot. I don't even know who he is.
Tim Roth. Yes, I think Mr. Wyatt, you know. Yeah. We'll edit that out, too. Yeah. So, like, as far as, like, future endeavors, like, future projects or, like, anything you wanted to kind
of. Well, right now we're getting ready to have the release of Jackass Forever is coming up.
When's that coming out?
It's supposed to be February 4th, I think. And it's 5th, or yeah, it's been.
It's
done.
Ready to go.
Hot, ready to go on the projector at your local theater.
I didn't mean to get controversial, but is BAM involved at all?
No.
Damn. That bums me because I want, you know, as a fan, I would, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It
upset everyone, but you know he. I can't say too much.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah. You know, he's not going to be involved, but...
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. So get your tickets for Jackass. Go to the premiere. Is there going to be a premiere?
I hope so. I don't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know.
I'm sure there's going to be some gnarly stunts.
Oh, there is.
Gnarly.
And it's just fun. It's a really fun film, and yeah. I laughed a lot, and...
So how involved were you? Were you involved actually on screen, but like as far as behind the scenes editorial stuff or anything like that?
No, because of COVID, I wasn't allowed to go into editing bay.
I mean, that would have been dope.
I used to go every film. I was sitting in the editing
bay.
Yeah,
dock, in the room.
Yeah, and watching. Oh, can we check out my shot here? You know,
like you did that
all the time. You know, and so But I got to go to a sound mix session. I got to watch the entire film with Jeff and Spike. And I was just so blown away by how good it looked.
It looked crispy.
Amazing. I got my card. I called. I'm like, man, I'm so proud to be a part of this. Yeah. This looks so good. And I can't believe that this, I got to do this again.
How many did they make?
This is the fourth one.
This is the fourth one.
Well, it'd be the fifth with Bad Grandpa.
Right. Now, is Spike a nice guy? I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, because I like his music video. Like with the stuff he did with the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys. Far Side. And the movies he's created.
Did he do Being John Malkovich? Is that him?
Yes.
Okay.
He's done some amazing things.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Now, is there anything else you wanted to... Can we start plugging, like, if you have a website, your YouTube again, your Instagram, or Twitter, whatever you want to do?
Yeah, you know, will you put the links in the description?
For you, I will.
Thank you.
I don't normally do that, but for you, I will. I'll put your Instagram and whatever you want me to do,
Twitter, I'm on... Everywhere.
Can you spell out your name? Like, they might spell your name wrong. The
Rick, R-I-C-K, K-O-S-I-C-K.
Dude, it was an honor having you. By the way, I wanted to meet you in the worst way. And when I saw you, when I walked in, I met you, but it was so brief at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
When I met you at Jeremiah's, I felt like, okay, I had the right sit down with you.
Andrew. It was fun. That was a really fun little get together.
That was a fun night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his birthday.
Yeah. Shout out to Jeremiah again.
You're going on the road with him soon, right?
Yeah, we have some we have some Scissor Bros live podcast dates. You know, why'd you ask? Just out of curiosity
And just to help plug your
I appreciate that. You know what, and I know we're kind of winding down, but it's such a new thing as well. It's cuz like stand up is one thing, right?
Yeah.
Watching a stand up act. But like for a live for a live show just to be a podcast, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Right.
Because I know, like, because when I ask Jeremiah, because I'm always like in my head, are we doing a good job? He just says, dude, just act as if we're just filming a normal. But you could say that, but dude, there's a live audience right there. So it's not going to be like how, you know, I'll give you this for an example. Like, you know how we're shooting the shit we have been for the last hour. Imagine if people were just sitting down around us.
I would be
nervous.
It's going
to change. That's what I'm saying, bro.
I'd be like, oh, my God. But I can handle it. After a while, you get in a groove of it.
It changes the conversation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It becomes more of an, what do we say,
it's
more.
Performance. That's a performance. What, he doesn't say that?
No, but it becomes that.
It 100% is.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you don't want to be sounding like, I don't know, Jeremiah. You know, you want to put out, project, and
like,
it's
how
energy.
You guys doing? You guys having a good time? Like,
come on, everyone.
Yeah, you have to do
exactly. Exactly.
Okay. We'll keep that one in. but you know what I mean? It becomes that. Like, you guys ready for our challenge? You know, it's not like just us talking.
Right.
So... going back to, yes, get your tickets. It's going to be on our social medias and websites, whatever. But it is a show.
I got to come to a Scissor Bros live taping one of these days.
Oh, we got to bring you on stage to get involved with it.
Well, I'm not going to do
a challenge or something.
I'll be the judge.
Do you know a kid in Missouri broke his finger?
That's dangerous.
We did going back to Squid Games, we did a Squid Game 3-part challenge, and one of the sections was a tug of war.
Gotta be careful.
This kid wrapped his finger like this. You know, because normally you would just wrap your wrist around it, right?
What is he doing?
And then he was on my team. So shout out to Jimmy. I hope you're recovering well.
Yeah.
I hope you got the care package. And we're doing it, and then he's like, and then his finger was literally, like, pointing the other way. I thought it was, like, a hoax. I'm like, what? Did Jeremiah? Because, you know, we do
so
jackass
painful.
Type stuff. But I'm like, this is a joke. But then literally we had to stop the live show.
It's like, hold it here. Get the medic in.
Yeah. So we'll be mindful for future Scissor Bro challenges. It's not going to be that gnarly like that.
Just bring some milk and cookies.
We're going to add that. We're going to keep that in there.
We're going to have a great time.
It was an honor having you.
Yeah,
I got to do a couple shout outs too. So I'll plug the Scissor Bro live podcast dates in the YouTube description. Go to stevieweebyshow.com for any of the merch. Go to scissorbros.com. I mean, youtube.com/scissorbros. Did you plug your Instagram, by the way? So it's Instagram.
It's everything at Rick Kosick.
And that's K-O-S-I-C-K. My Instagram's Q-U-A-N-G-O-U, Kwong U, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. I also have a newer project, a music project on Spotify. Just type in Q-U-A-N-G-O-U. Subscribe to the Scissor Bros channel. Subscribe to this channel. And I think, did we cover everything? I think that's about it, man. Oh, did that fly? Go ahead.
And my other favorite movie is Die Hard.
You know what, bro? Let me tell you something. That's a damn good movie.
Yeah, I just watched it the other night.
I watch it every couple months.
I watched it at Christmas.
Can I throw another one in there? Oh, you did? Good for you. Oh, because that happened during Christmas. They had the party.
Yeah, Christmas movie.
The company party.
Yeah.
First Blood.
Oh.
Rambo First Blood.
Loved all those movies.
Damn good movie.
Oh, Apocalypse Now.
Okay, now we're damn good movie.
Yeah.
It was long. It was long.
It's long.
But, you know, shout out to Lawrence Fishburne as well. I mean, a young Lawrence Fishburne's in that movie.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
A lot of young guys were in that movie.
Yeah. Damn good. Oh, who's
Outsiders.
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
Dennis
Hopper was the photographer.
Yeah. Outside. Say that. Yeah.
The Outsiders.
Francis Ford Coppola's.
And it had such a crazy ensemble of all these young,
I mean, Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, on and on and on. Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, I saw that at the New Bev, too.
Yeah. That's got to be one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, my God. Here's another great
movie. Matt Dillon.
Yes, Matt Dillon.
Can't forget about Matt Dillon.
I have another
Rumblefish.
Before we wrap this up, I got this great new
book. Now you're coming up with the movie stuff? We're wrapping up here, but throw a couple other ones.
Right.
Go ahead.
Nah, well, maybe you can cut this back.
No. We're keeping everything in, Rick.
All right.
Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. Please do it.
So I'm at the New Bev watching the Blues Brothers midnight screening.
Dan Aykroyd.
So, and then the guy, every showing, the guy comes out who runs the theater is like, hey, all right. Thanks for coming to New Bev. We got a special guest. And he introduces Quentin Tarantino. So he comes out and it's like, all right, cool. And Quentin's like all like animated crazy. He's like, I got a special surprise for you guys. I'm going to introduce you to the producer of the film, writer Dan Aykroyd. And the whole theater is just jumped up screaming. And so
you must have brought up the New Bev three times during this.
It's
podcast.
Insane.
Can we plug it again? It was on Fairfax. It's on Fairfax.
No, it's on Bev.
It's on Bev. Beverly. Okay, I thought it was like the one. Didn't he buy the one on Fairfax too?
No, he bought the one.
Sorry, thanks for clarifying.
The one on the east side. The
gotcha. The Vista in Silver Lake.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Mm-hmm.
The New Bev Theater, that's Tarantino's theater?
Yes, it is.
And you can watch the nostalgic movies.
It's all projected in 35mm.
Wow. And definitely go support that once this is all... this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, they're showing, but I haven't been there in a year because it's been kind of weird.
I'm glad you brought up Die Hard and Outsiders.
There's so many. It's just like, next you know, I'm going to be driving home like, gosh, dang it, I didn't mention this film.
No, that's fine.
All
right. We can always have part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5. Thanks for tuning in. We made an hour.
Well, thanks for having me as
a
guest.
Anytime, brother. I'm so glad we met. Okay. Till next time.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of
lady made the great display in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal of male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.